Good evening. Welcome again to our evening service here at Sterling Baptist. My name is Rob, and for those of you that don't know me, I am on staff here. I head up our youth and kids work and our student work and kind of any of the younger guys. And that's it. And also as part of that, I'm part of the kind of preaching team here as well. And this evening we're going to be continuing our series on the Book of Ruth, as already been said. We're now week 5 into 6 weeks, because as Steve has already kind of alluded to, we've split some of the chapters into two, to really allow us to go into some of the kind of messages and some of the themes that are in there. And this week, also, if you were here last week, this week, we're going to be looking more at the character of Boaz and in terms of his role, which Rab kind of alluded to last week and did very well at kind of refraining from stepping into that area, which he did very well. So that's what we're going to have a look at this week. But what I wanted to do just before we launch straight in is give you a bit of a recap. And for those of you that have maybe missed a few weeks or you've not been here, or maybe this is your first time with us, but rather than just listen to my voice recap three chapters of Ruth, I thought we'd do a bit of a quiz. So I would like you to turn to the person next to you. It's only 5 questions. I'm not going to get you to feed them out and to everybody, so don't worry. If you don't know the answer, that's okay. We're going to do a bit of peer marking, a bit of accountability between you. So just 5 simple questions on the first 3 chapters of Ruth that will hopefully allow us to catch up to where we are now. Okay, so question number 1, very straightforward. Can you name the 3 main characters of the story? Discuss with the person next to you. Okay, so question number 1, fairly straightforward, yes? Most of you are quite happy with it? So Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, just to give you a bit of context, Naomi is the mother-in-law of Ruth. Boaz is a landowner in Bethlehem. So 3 main characters, there we go. Okay, question number 2. Which land had Naomi travelled back from with Ruth? And there is a bonus question, or a bonus point in here as well, of why did they travel? So which land was it? Did she travel to with Ruth? No, sorry, back from. What land did she travel back from with Ruth and why? Okay, great. So the land was the land of Moab. They travelled back from the land of Moab, Naomi and Ruth together. And why? Because there had been a famine in Moab, so they were travelling back.
There
was a famine in Bethlehem. They travelled out to Moab. They came back because there was death in the family, and then there was blessing in Bethlehem. So, question number 3. What task did Ruth take upon herself to accomplish? What task did Ruth take upon herself to accomplish? Getting harder as you go on. Was to harvest, was to find food for her and Naomi, was to go to the fields and was to reap some of the wheat that was there. That was the task that she took on. Okay, question number 4. What change have we seen take place in Naomi's life since returning with Ruth to Bethlehem? So that's what change have we seen take place in Naomi's life since returning with Ruth to Bethlehem? What change have we seen take place in Naomi's life
since returning with Ruth.
Okay, so we see a change from bitterness of when Naomi arrives in Bethlehem with Ruth, and we are continuing to see, and we'll see more of today and next week, that this is moving from bitterness to blessing. We're seeing that she's seeing God's blessing in her life, so the change that we're seeing is from bitterness to blessing. And finally, last question, if you were here last week, you will know, who did Ruth visit and what request did she have for them? Who did Ruth visit and what request did she have for them? So last week we heard about how Ruth visited Boaz, and her request was basically one of marriage, but in the terms that they used was this term of redeeming the family, of redeeming her land, of her mother-in-law, and the line that was there. So that was what we saw. So hopefully, if you didn't know some of the answers to those questions, that's filled you in on where we've been so far. And I quite like a bit of audience participation as we go on. So what we see as we come to the beginning of chapter 4 is the climax of our story. We know that God has already answered the need for food in chapter 2. So there was two needs that when Naomi and Ruth arrived back in Bethlehem, there were two needs that we worked out that we need, and that would be food and family. We saw in chapter 2 how that request and that need has been answered. And now what we get to see is that that God is going to do the same thing with the need for family. We saw a glimpse of how that was maybe going to pan out last week. And this week we're going to see more of how that takes shape and how that happens. Last week we saw that how that was coming, but then we heard that there was going to be a little bit of a hiccup, a little bit of a prevention of that being smooth and straightforward. And this week we're going to see how God works through that and to allow God's ultimate plan of redemption to come about, and to come about for Ruth and Naomi. So let's read the chapter together, or the first 10 verses of it anyway. I am going to go through the chapter bit by bit and explain some of what's going on, what's happening, and before we pull out some of the main themes. And then we're going to look at what we can take from this as well. And just it will be on the screen, so if you want to find that in your Bibles, I'm just going to pray as we do that just now, and then we'll kick in. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you that we are in a place where we can freely come and we can freely read it. We can learn from it, Father. And I pray that each of us would have our hearts open to what it is that you want to say to us this evening. In your name, amen. Okay, so Ruth chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. We're going to pause there. Verse 1. Quite a lot in here that we need to think about. But what I love about this book is the way in which God is not, it really shows us that God is not in the business of things happening by accident. It just so happens that as Boaz goes to the city gates, that as he sits and he waits, the actual person he's waiting to see walks by. Just by chance, some would say. But what we've seen throughout this book, throughout the chapters, is that there are so many things in this story that just happened by chance. Ruth just happened to go to the field that belonged to Boaz. Boaz just happened to be visiting the field that day as Ruth was there. That what we see is that real emphasis that God is at work in this story. That maybe God isn't massively mentioned throughout this text in terms of the word or the language, but the character that's displayed, the attributes, how we see, is we see that character time and time again in terms of how God is weaving his plan through here. And it just so happens that as Boaz is waiting there, as he's gone to the town to wait, who walks past the very person, the Redeemer, that he's waiting to see? Naboth mentions at the end of chapter 3 that while he is a redeemer of Naomi and Ruth, because they are in the same clan, they're part of the same family, therefore he has a responsibility to do that, there is someone closer. And it would be wrong for him to redeem when there was someone who was closer in lineage and family and to Ruth and Naomi. He makes that very clear at the end of chapter 3. He makes no promises to Ruth that he will be able to do what she asked because of this person. But he says, leave it with me. I will do what I can do. And this is where we see him go next. And he heads to have a conversation with that person. Verse 2. He took 10 men, that he being Boaz, men of elders of the city, and he said, sit down here. So they sat down, and then he said to the Redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to her relatives, Elimelech, to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it, in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, but if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one beside you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he says, I will redeem it. So Boaz calls 10 elders and to witness the conversation. Nothing untoward here. This is all very normal of our society and normal of what we'd expect. But again, it shows us that Boaz is not going to cut any corners here. We heard earlier, and we've learned throughout this book of Ruth, that Boaz is a worthy man, that he's earned that title, he's earned that honour. And as we already know and we've seen, that reputation doesn't just come overnight. It doesn't just appear. It's something that he's worked on and he's earned. And he's not here going to ignore the law or the traditions simply to get what he thinks he wants here. He's going to do things properly and go about the way in which he should. As he explained to Ruth and to the Redeemer here, who interestingly isn't named, and we don't know how close he is to Ruth, is that there's a system and a procedure to follow in this situation. Being the kinsman redeemer means that as the nearest male adult relative to the widow, you had the right to acquire or inherit the land. However, this also included taking on responsibility for producing an heir with any widows left to then give the land that you had acquired back to that heir when they became of age. It's quite an ask. It's quite a big thing that God asks. However, God has set this system up in Leviticus and Deuteronomy to provide for his people in moments of crisis. So again, we see here God is working through this plan. He's working with his people. He's for his people in this situation. Just as he had with Ruth when she'd been able to gather crops at the edge of the fields. We know from Ruth chapter 2 that the reason she was able to go to those fields and gather crops was because there was a system in place in which foreigners and the poor could go and gather food. And Boaz presents this to the Redeemer, who he sat down with his 10 witnesses, and he presents it as it was. Just like that, very straightforward, plain and simple. A bit like, just so you know, Naomi's back, this land, it's yours, if you want it, you can take it. All very straightforward, and it all sounds great. Naomi is past childbearing age. The Redeemer is thinking he can grow his estate here with having taken on very little responsibility for Naomi. He would have to care for her and feed her, but beyond that, the land was his. But then Boaz continues his conversation with this person. And he said, the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate in the name of the dead in his inheritance. Then the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right to redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in the former times in Israel, redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he drew off his sandal. Now, interestingly here, Boaz now mentions Ruth, the widow who the Redeemer would be required to produce an heir with, to redeem the family name and then give the land back to that heir. And it's at this point that the Redeemer changes his mind because he realizes that the cost is too great on his family, on his social status, on the choices that he has already made. And what we see is he practically begs Boaz to take it. He seems to be running off in a distance, into the distance, with only one sandal. Remember, there were witnesses to this taking place. As this was the custom, the Redeemer shows his seriousness about abandoning his responsibilities by removing his sandal as a clear sign that he is walking away and washing his hands of this situation. The story continues. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses to this day." So Boaz had been successful. God's provision of family was now set in motion. We've seen how he's provided food, and we also see now how he's going to provide family for Naomi and Ruth. But interestingly, as we look at the describing words used for Ruth across this story, we're reminded of the redemption story that God has been weaving through and putting into action. So in chapter 1, verse 20, Ruth is described as a Moabite. Now just to remind you, that's a foreigner, but it's also an enemy of God's people. This is a land that you would not want to be in, you would not want to be living. You don't go there, you don't marry into that kind of tradition. So she's called very clearly a foreigner, an enemy of this place. In chapter 2, verse 10, we're reminded again that she is a foreigner. She is in a land that she does not belong. She is somewhere where she was not born. She has no family connection. And she is described as a foreigner. Further on in that chapter, in verse 13, she's even called a slave. The idea that she would have to rely on other people to protect her, to look after her, to feed her. She is a woman with no real positives going on. And then we see the flip. We see the change from chapter 3 onwards. Chapter 3, verse 9 calls her a servant. There's a move here from a slave to a servant. And finally here, in chapter 4, verse 10, she is called a wife. We see that full redemptive story work through the book of Ruth. And what a journey that is. Ultimately, she's adopted into God's people, into the family of God through the actions of others, through the following of what God had put in motion and set in motion in terms of laws and structures, but also in terms of God weaving that plan through, in terms of things being in right places at the right time. But why is this story so important? Why do we find this story of three people in the middle of the Old Testament? Because it's the story of Naomi and Ruth being redeemed. The story of a Moabite and a foreigner being accepted, being loved and brought into family. Now, interestingly, when I put in a photo search, into a photo search engine, the word redeem, to try and find a photo for the PowerPoint this evening, the only thing that came up on a non-Christian site was this. Pictures of crosses. Redeem means to buy, to purchase, or set free by paying a price. And what we know throughout the whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is that God has been all about redemption from Genesis 3. From that moment that we were separated from God, his plan and purpose has been about redeeming his people to him. And what we see here is a glimpse of how he did that in the everyday. How he did that for normal people. Not kings, not queens, not emperors, not whole nations. How he did this for three people. And as we've mentioned in previous weeks, what we also see is that God is revealing his character throughout this story. God sent Boaz into the lives of Naomi and Ruth to see them redeemed to him through his working, his laws, and his people. And it's just the same for us, because God sent Jesus into our lives. God made the cross happen, that redemption plan, to see us redeemed to him. So what are the similarities do we see between Boaz and Jesus? So Boaz, the Redeemer. We see particular things, especially in the chapters that we've read, that point towards how Boaz is the ultimate example of a Redeemer. So in chapter 3, verse 10, which is what Rab read for us last week, we see that Boaz gives blessing and feels kindness because Ruth has made a request to him to redeem her. However, he goes on to say that there is someone else who has that first opportunity. He understands that he doesn't yet have the right to redeem her. But we've just read how God uses Boaz in the correct way to make sure that Boaz does have the right to redeem Ruth. And he goes on and we see how Boaz delights in the fact that he's able to make that happen. Even though he knows that it will cost him severely, he knows that he has the resources, he knows that he has the money, he knows that the cost will both be financial but also social. There'll be a cost in terms of buying the land to ultimately redeem Ruth, but also there'll be a cost socially in his status. He's a worthy man. He's known for being horrible, but remember, he is marrying a foreigner. He's marrying a Moabite. There will be people that wonder why that is, wonder what's going on, and therefore he will lose some of that social status. But he realizes that the cost is worth it. The fact that the original Deemer knew too well that this cost was great, and he chose to run away as quickly as possible. As soon as he realized there was an escape plan and that Boaz was willing to take this on, he offered to him with no conditions, with no terms. He said, "Here's my sandal, it's all yours, I'm off." And this shows that Boaz also had the resolve to redeem Ruth. He didn't just go, "Oh, that's a nice request, that's a nice offer." He knew that he wasn't the first in line, he knew he didn't have the right. So therefore, he set about doing that. He knows that there is another redeemer, as we've mentioned, closer than he is to Ruth. However, he resolves to do all he can to honour her request to him. So we know that Boaz now has the right. He's gained that through following the procedures, following the laws that God set in motion. We know that he has the resources. He is worthy. He owns land. He is able to make the transactions that need to happen. And he's proven that he has the resolve to redeem Ruth in this situation. So how does that then compare to Jesus for each of us in this room? Jesus also delights in being able to redeem us. Even though, as we're about to see, and as we know, there was a great cost to him. That cost was the cross. That's why when I searched that word redeem, the only thing that came up on that webpage was pictures of different crosses. We also know that Jesus had the right to redeem us. He came to earth. He lived among us. He became like us in every way. He was fully human. And that gives him the right to redeem us, just as Boaz had the right to redeem Ruth. We also know that God gave all authority to Jesus. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And we see that this gives Jesus the resource in which to redeem us. He's able to do it. He has the power. He has God on his side. But he knows that ultimately the cost is going to be great. The cost that he is willing to use to redeem us. But finally, we also know that Jesus had the resolve. Jesus takes up that cross because he desires obedience to the Father, something which we heard about last week. He desires this more than his own life. And it's not just the cross that he takes on. It's the inheritance of sin that he took. It's the inheritance of sin that he took on for each of us. God is committed to providing. Not one thing happening in this story is outside of God's control. And that is exactly the same for each of us in this room. As with Naomi, who, remember, in chapter 1, questioned, "Why do you call me Naomi, when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty and has brought calamity upon me?" What we've seen across this story is that God provided for their essential needs. He bought food, first and foremost, and now he's bought family. While it seemed to Naomi that God had dealt her a bitter hand, that he turned his back, that he was moving away, actually, in fact, God was doing nothing but pursuing her. He did nothing to stop pursuing her as she moved, as she followed her husband, as she lost her husband and her sons, as she came back. and was in such a bitter place. But God was adamant that he was going to provide her with blessing. And that's what we've seen throughout this story. Even if she felt that she didn't deserve it, maybe because of some of the choices that she'd made, God did not stop pursuing her. And maybe this concept is new to you, this idea of being pursued, this idea of God giving blessing, of wanting blessing for us. But I warn you that God does bless each person here. God is on a mission to redeem each of us. God is on a mission to have a relationship with each of us. But also, we don't deserve that, just as Naomi didn't, just as Ruth didn't. We are only here and have that permission to be redeemed because of the grace of Christ. The redemption that Jesus has, the redemption that Jesus has the right, the resource, and the resolve to do for each of us. However, it doesn't matter what you've done, what choices you've made, what decisions you've taken until this point, because Jesus pursues each of us and is pursuing each of us for redemption. But I also wonder if you ever find yourself in the field that Ruth found herself in. Lost, wondering what's happening, lonely, doing everything you can to keep going. Seeing yourself as a slave and relying on other people. Well, sometimes that's all of us. Sometimes we all find ourselves in that position. But even in that field, God will find you in that field. He will pursue you like he has pursued Ruth in this very story. And also all people, no matter of their background or their race, remember who Ruth was. Ruth was not a Jew. Ruth was a foreigner. She was an enemy of God's people. However, every person in this room, just as with Ruth, he desires your redemption. However, my question for you this evening is, do you have the resolve to seek him, to follow him, to find him in different situations? Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz had no idea that we'd be using their story to witness and be encouraged of the redeeming nature of God all these years later. And neither do we. We have no idea how God is going to use each of us to bring redemption to those around us. And I want us to be open to that this evening. And that as we come into communion, as we remember that cross, as we come to Jesus again and we say we're sorry, we have walked away from you again, we have handed that sandal and we have tried to run. As we do that, remember that God is pursuing us. God is pursuing each of us. That he has done everything he needs to do with that cross and with Jesus. There is no cost to pay. Jesus was on a resolve to redeem us and he has done everything he can do. So let's pray for that as we go into communion. This evening we'd understand that. We'd know that. And we would take that into the places that we are so that we would see more and more people understand that redemption for the first time, or be reminded of that in particular tricky or difficult situations where you may feel, or the people around you may feel, have been dealt that bitter hand. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is on a mission, that you are a God who wants to redeem each of us in this room, in this city, in this nation, in this world. We thank you that we can journey with you to bring that redemption not only to our lives, but to those around us. And Father, as we come into communion this evening, as we come to focus on you, as we come to recommit ourselves to you, to thank you and to remember that redemption that you've given freely to each of us, at no cost to us, we thank you and praise you. In your name.